Okay, we can move on.
Okay, thank you.
Item 10, enforcement. This is the agency's WAC overhaul briefing, and we have Joanna Idy here. The enforcement committee heard this briefing. It's been elaborated a little bit, but...
Awfully short.
Commissioners, as you know, post-merger, former Departments of Fisheries and Wildlife, the respective statutes were combined and completely remodeled to reflect the new agency, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and therefore provide clear and enforceable laws. This hasn't been the case with respect to department rules. There's been a number of program efforts to fix individual rules or sections within chapters, and those efforts have been really positive. I mean, for certain, you guys sit through a lot of rule amendment sessions, so you're aware of that. But the progress has just been, over the past decade, much too slow, really, to meet both the agency and public's need. So with the director's blessing, we've embarked on a comprehensive approach to reorganize, update, and enhance our administrative rules. And a subcommittee of the commission heard Ms. Idy's presentation on this topic. And so she's here to give everybody an overview of our progress on that front. And so Joanna Idy is our newest addition to the enforcement program. She'll provide you an overview of the problem and some steps being developed to fix those problems, and also different stages of the project. So just by way of a little formal introduction, Joanna was born and raised in Western Washington. She earned a BA at Western Washington University with a major in political science and a minor in humanities. And then after graduation, she worked as a session aide with the Washington State Senate. Once session ended, she took a position with King County as in their executive office, where she worked until entering law school. She's earned her Juris Doctor degree with a dual emphasis in natural resources and environmental law and Native American law from the University of Idaho College of Law. We are really blessed to have Joanna on our team. We're very excited about the work that she's doing, and you get to hear all about it now.
Thank you, Deputy Chief. That's a great introduction. Really flattered. Thank you. And Chair Wecker, and thank you also for having me here and the rest of the commissioners. Really appreciate it. And because so many of you have actually seen major parts of this, and I have added on since the Enforcement Advisory Committee, I'm going to try and keep this as brief as possible. I know it's 4:30, and you guys don't want to be here. So it's been a long day. So I'll try and keep this as brief as I possibly can while still giving you as much information as possible. So, as you know, I'm here to present on our WAC overhaul, the project that I will be embarking on. So, I actually have embarked on. So, as Deputy Chief Sensi mentioned, I am the new Administrative Regulations Analyst, and my mission is to clean up our WACs, and I'm going to reorganize them, eliminate repetition, and update and correct content. And this will be in conjunction with programs, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. We're also going to be, through these efforts, improving enforceability through structural changes and clarifying language. And I have a vested interest in this positive outcome as well, because I harvest shellfish and I fish as well. So I want to see this stuff look good as well. So and in short, I just wanted to make this the most user-friendly and clear code on the books, and maybe set an example for other agencies. So. So just a quick overview of what I'm going to address this afternoon. Here's why a WAC overhaul is necessary is the first thing. The benefits of a WAC overhaul. The fundamental principles I'll be using in approaching this project. What the code will look like afterwards. I'll show you a little example. And how the overhaul will be accomplished and where we are at the moment. So why do we need a WAC overhaul? Well, Our current organization is pretty problematic. A lot of our recreational and our commercial regulations commingle, and also our fish and wildlife regulations are commingling. You would think, because we have two separate titles from before the two departments merged, that they would be a little bit separate, but that's actually not the case, and I'll show you some examples in a few moments. We have a lot of outdated rules on the books, and this is a problem. We need to update a lot of this language. Some of these can be just completely outright repealed, and they're just kind of weighing us down at this point. Our rules also are lacking uniformity, and this is, you know, we have very complex regulations, and they were adopted over differing time periods with different authors, and this makes some inconsistencies present, different formulation of just how the rules are structured, different ways of authoring the rules, which is problematic, and we have a lot of WACs that don't agree with each other or are contradicting. This all adds to a difficult-to-follow code, and this is further complicated by the fact that sections repeat and overlap. So this also lends to confusion, and this is something that can be fixed through consolidation or elimination of rules. And this all, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we continue. We also refer to our former agencies. We have many rules that are still out there that still refer to the Department of Game and the Department of Fisheries, and also to some WACs and RCWs that no longer exist. There's plenty of Title 75 references still in our WACs, and we need to change that because it's a legal requirement that we refer to the actual RCW that gives us the authority for that rule. So, and then also some of our chapters became catch-all, and some examples of that include the first one here is Chapter 220, and this is general provisions, and this seems at first like it would be all right. It's a little bit misleading. It's not actually generally applicable. There's a whole bunch of different types of rules that are within here, and you can see a few examples here. Residency, commercial provisions, we've got importing shellfish, enforcement officer relief from active duty procedures, and the list goes on. That's not an exhaustive list, and this is a pretty short chapter. Another example is in Title 232. In permanent regulations, this also has a misleading title, and you can see another example of a wide array of different subject areas within this. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. This chapter is a bit larger, but it's also problematic. But the situation isn't all that bad. I don't want you to think that I'm just here to dump on all of our rules. They're not all that bad. A lot of our more recently drafted rules are great, and they're very clear. They make lots of sense, and other agencies have, in fact, used them as a model. But our older rules are giving us problems, and larger organizational issues are further complicating that. So what are going to be some of the benefits that we'll see from an overhaul? Well, first off, I'll start with enforcement, since that's where I'm positioned at the moment. Clearer organization in our WACs is going to be easier on our officers. It could reduce agency liability in that if we clarify our WACs, there'll be less ambiguity. And this is important because our officers take away people's civil liberties through in reliance on our WACs and our RCWs. And it's very serious. So if our officers make a mistake based on a vaguely worded statute or rule, then we can be exposed as an agency to liability if we're sued for infringing upon those civil liberties. Further aligning our WACs with our RCWs improves the identification of violations, and in general, it will really make it a lot easier for our officers to follow our code and be able to identify violations. And also, again, the legal requirement, our WACs must dovetail into RCWs, and that's a basic principle of administrative law. We'll also see prosecution and judicial benefits. There'll be a likely increase in successful prosecutions, and these clear and concise elements are extremely important in legal matters. Elements are part of the statute that must be proven in order to convict, and our code has a lot of run-on sentences and paragraphs that make it difficult to identify elements. excuse me. It's more difficult for prosecutors to prove these unclear elements, and we want to avoid this. Further, The clearer elements can improve jury instructions and charging documents, which can also help a lot in prosecution of our violations. If these elements are not clearly defined, these instructions can vary jurisdiction by jurisdiction, and it also makes it more difficult for judges to be able to explain the law to juries who are already pretty unfamiliar with our rules. This can lead to a lot of inconsistent results and possible overturn upon appeal. Clearer elements can also reduce our unconstitutionally vague challenges, which we get a lot of. We'll stay here for a moment. We get a lot of these due to the unclear elements or lack of references to RCWs. For this reason, it makes it more difficult for prosecutors to prosecute, and it makes it easier for defense attorneys to find that wiggle room in order to cast a reasonable doubt. And we want to be able to avoid that as much as possible and keep those unconstitutionally vague challenges from being made. Further, a cleanup will also help provide the full legal perspective when we're able to include the applicable RCW in the WAC, and that will reduce frustration for judges, which is also good, and prosecutors, and also increase favorable outcomes. We'll also have less need for a prosecutor's manual, and our regulations are complex enough for us to have one, and we do have one, but if we did an overhaul of our WACs to make them clearer and better organized, the need for one wouldn't be as great. We'll also see a lot of public benefits. The better organization will let the public find WACs more easily. And this is both on the commercial and recreational side. A more intuitive code equals a less frustrated public, which is good for everyone. And if they can find their rules more easily, they can engage in lawful activity more easily. We'll get less of the "I didn't know that was illegal" answer when people receive violations. And recreational users feel like our rules are really complex and that we need a high-priced lawyer in order to understand them. Imagine how commercial entities feel. While you may think it is their single focus and it's their business to know their rules and requirements for them, you'd be amazed on how much contact we receive from commercial entities to enforcement, just asking questions about what they can and cannot do. So all of this should increase user group compliance, which would be fantastic. Both recreational and commercial users would be able to find their rules more easily. And since commercial users have a pretty large impact on state resources, and a WAC overhaul could also promote increased conservation of our resources. So the agency will also see benefits from this. It'll make it easier for agency staff to manage. It'll make it easier for us to identify what we need to do and what we don't need to do. So it's not just external benefits, it's also many internal benefits. So now we're going to transition into the project and kind of where we are and all of those lovely topics, the nitty-gritties, and I promise I will try to keep this as brief as possible. So here are the fundamental principles that I'm using in approaching this huge project. I want to put apples with apples, not oranges. I want to group things by common topic. This is actually something that doesn't happen very much right now. Many of our chapters don't do this. Some do, but we need to make sure that all of them are doing that. This is an incredibly important part of reorganizing the code into a manageable and easy-to-use system. And further, we want to simplify use and understanding of our rules. And these are just some of the key words that I'm using just to guide me throughout this project: accuracy, clarity, uniformity, legal adequacy, and enforceability. So here's what the work distribution of the project is going to look like. About 85% of it is going to be housekeeping. Now, this is just the general resorting of the rules, making it easier to follow, achieve the topic grouping that I talked about earlier, and the programs are going to be participating on a review committee level to provide guidance on reorganization on both a macro and micro level. And what I mean by that is macro level as in the actual organization of all of the bigger rules, and then the micro level is the organization within each rule itself. So subsections. Does this actually make sense here? So nothing will be done without program involvement, and I've been in touch with them, and we've met, and it's been a really great, productive process thus far. So substantive changes are going to be about 15% of the project, and this is going to be more of clarifying language, making sure that these rules are actually doing what we want them to do. We'll do that through hopefully creating subsections, restructuring, and clarifying language. And these changes must be very carefully considered. As you know, the placement of a comma, the use of must or may can radically improve or change meaning. So these things are going to be very carefully considered, and program and stakeholder involvement will be really important here. And further, to make this easier on your lives, it will be done in batches. So I'm not going to just drop the atomic bomb of rulemaking on you, okay? So this will be done in batches and spread out over the course of the entire project. So a little bit more about housekeeping. So these are the general principles that I'm using here. We want to consolidate all agency WACs under one title. Currently, we have two. We've got 220 and 232. Having two titles is really confusing and also has led to a lot of rules being placed in awfully funny places. And this also promotes people missing things, which is really problematic. And also, we're kind of a rarity in the fact that we have two. And it is a leftover, you know, from when it was the Department of Game and Department of Fisheries. So we want to put everything in one spot and then organize it under that. So the reorganization will be on a section-by-section level. And so the topic area organization. I'll be using headings between subject groups in the title's chapter listings. So I'll have the title and then a heading and then chapters beneath that. And then also we'll have subheadings within those actual chapters to separate topic groups of actual rules. So it'll be really easy to find exactly what you're looking for when you need it. So here's an example of what this might look like, just to give you a little bit more of a visual aid to what I was just describing. So here, the fisheries heading right up at the top, that's what I mean when I say there's going to be headings in between chapters. So here we've got, and this is just an example, this isn't like, you know, set in stone, this is exactly how it's going to look, but just to give you a bit of a visual aid. So fisheries is the heading, and then we've got chapters separated underneath that. So we'll have the generally applicable rules underneath the giant heading, and then we've got specific to personal use fishing, and then different topics underneath that will be in there, and then commercial fishing will be on its own, and then shellfish will be on its own, and et cetera. So we will also have, we will also have, each heading will also have its own level of numbering. So for instance, all fisheries would be in the 300s. All of our general rules will be in the 200s. All of our agency and commission related rules would be in the 100s, and so on. So you would know by the number you're looking at, you'll know where it fits in the grand scheme of things, which will also be helpful. And this construct will allow us to avoid a repeat of the mess we've gotten ourselves into, because it'll be clear to where you should put rules in the future and also where we might need help. So, for instance, if the state passes a new statute and we have to adopt a rule on a particular topic, we'll know where to put that rule because we'll already have the construct there. So a little bit more about these substantive changes. So what are they? Really, it's the clarifying the wording, streamlining, and updating of language. We'll be combining some sections and moving and creating subsections, things of that nature, to try and make sure that these rules make sense. Because even within some individual rules, we have some really differing topic areas that are combined in one section that don't quite make very much sense. For instance, there's a rule in the commercial fishing regulations that its title only talks about salmon, but it includes subsections dealing with bottom fish pots and shellfish pots. So that would be a situation where we would propose taking those subsections out that deal with those bottom fish pots and shellfish pots and place them in another rule or make new rules with them. So, and again, as I mentioned before, this is a much smaller part of the project, so this is not going to be huge policy changes. We're not changing the actual intent behind the rule. We're making it a more clear expression and making it less confusing. People will be able to identify where they need to go in order to find their rule and regulation. And why is doing this so important? Well, a lot of the benefits that I talked about earlier. It's going to increase public understanding of our rules, streamline our code, and we'll see a lot of benefits to officers, prosecutors, and judges, increase our enforceability, and just increase the usability of our code. So how is this overhaul going to be accomplished? Well, we've developed the preliminary project plan, and the overhaul will occur in phases over the next 2 years. And the programs are reviewing this project plan as well. So they will be providing input to me on this and say whether or not this is going to fit with any plans that they have and make sure that we're all on board together. So we're not fighting against one another with this, because really I'm taking a holistic view with this project. There's also going to be collaboration on the contents as well, as in addition to the collaboration on the timeline. My contacts have been selected, as I mentioned, and I have been working with them already, which has been very productive. And I'm going to keep their involvement on a review basis because, you know, their primary function is not my primary function. I was brought on to do this project, and I'm going to do all of the work on the front end and bring them a product in which they can review and make suggestions to, so that I'm not taking up a bunch of their time as well, but we are getting the input that we need. So there's 5 project phases, and I just wanted to give you an idea of what each phase will entail. Phase 1 is the basic planning phase, planning the project, developing the initial organizational structure, briefing the program contacts, and beginning technical and repeal and amendments. Phase 2, and those technical repeal and amendments, that's something that falls within the substantive area, and those are really outdated things that people are like, wow, I didn't even know that was there, and I don't even know what that means. So it's been interesting, kind of a little treasure hunt. So phase 2 will be continuing those technical repeals and amendments, drafting amendments required by RCW, identifying substantive changes needed so that we can know and plan over the course of this project what we need to do now and what we need to do later. So things that we can spread out over a long period of time. And also tracking our cross-references. So these are the internal references that we have within our rules into other rules that may be changing numbers or whatever. So we've got phase 3, which is beginning presentation of proposed structural substantive changes to the commission. This is the ones that need to happen before we reorganize. And just completing cross-reference lists. Really, all of these things, you know, I'll be updating you over the course of this project. So really, this is just to give you a basic idea. Reviewing and editing before we actually move. And that'll happen in phase 4. So just a quick overview of that. And then in phase 5, this is the final phase here, is really when we're going to do all of the final post-reorganization substantive changes, and those will be the ones that are only changes within an actual section that's not going to affect structure. And it'll be final review and project wrap-up, and then I will draft a report so that we can avoid problems in the future. So the substantive changes will occur starting in late 2012 and all of 2013. Some will be prior to the reorganization that will affect structure, as I just mentioned, and some will be post. And then our actual reorganization and renumbering date will be in spring 2013. So I want to make sure that we plan accordingly so that this will happen and do it well and get it right the first time. You know, measure twice, cut once. Full project completion will be before November 2013. And then here's just a general timeline here as well of what will, you know, when each of these phases will be occurring. And so currently now we're in phase one. We're moving into phase two, and we're almost done outlining our WAC placements. And as soon as I complete that, which should be in the next week or two, I should be sending that to our programs for their review. We'll be meeting and discussing those, and I'll be taking suggestions from them as well. And I'm preparing our second batch of minor technical repeals and amendments. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Sorry for all the information.
It's an enormous project, but very, very necessary. It will be very helpful. Director Anderson?
Yeah, we just, this falls into the category of one of those things where you want to, when you leave a place, you want to leave it better than you found it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really appreciate Joanna's coming in to help us with this. She's obviously the right person for the job. And you don't have to spend a whole lot of time looking at our WACs to know that they need this badly, not only from an organizational perspective, but we've got some fundamental problems that we don't have the underlying statutory foundation for some of the WACs that obviously needs to be addressed. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to have Joanna here and have, of course, this was I'm sure driven by the chief, but I think it was probably driven maybe even more so by the deputy chief, because he's been all over this and all over me about this stuff for a long time. So I'm really looking forward to this, and I think when we're done that we're all going to leave this in a better place than what we found it.
Commissioner Dubia.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just want to relay, I think at our last commission meeting, Deputy Chief Senke made at least four very positive comments about the director. I wanted to make sure that he got full credit for those.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's used up a couple of his chips here lately.
Yeah. Commissioner Megan?
I'm just curious, did this start out as an enforcement activity and then morph into a full department activity? Was it always planned as such?
It was always planned as being department-wide. And, yeah, that's just been the approach from the very get-go. It's been holistic from day one.
Well, this is the second time I've seen this, and I can't give you enough in the form of rave reviews for this. I agree with the director that this is going to be fundamental, to the future of what we leave with the agency. I think this has been needed for a long, long time. And to be honest with you here, we started some time ago in the Fish Committee at the urging of the director and Joe that we needed to change some of our policies. If you look at some of the policies, at the last meeting, for example, the other night, we learned that there is an almost long-lost policy on spot prawns that doesn't match with the existing policy, and it looks like the old policy was never adequately rescinded. Mm. So, I think the commission should take into account that it has some obsolete policies as well that probably need to be redrawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you have my compliments. I think this is a great undertaking.
Thank you. Thank you. And, of course, I'm getting plenty of help from everyone here at the agency, being brand new and all of that. So the programs have really been absolutely vital. Of course, Deputy Chief Sensi is a great resource. Lori Bruce is a great resource, and as is the chief. So
you learned so well.
Yeah. He's shaking his head. Job security. All right.
Any other comments? Deputy Chief, you want to say something complimentary about the director?
In the interest of time, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
And you'll be coming back to
yes.
keep us updated.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Quite a bit of me, I'm sure.
Okay. Great. Thank you.